Do you remember, were you there when he designed that bird?
Oh, heavens on earth. That was Bird's Eye. I don't know how long Bird's Eye has been. I was there when they, there was another company that came out, and he designed it, he drew that, he drew that, but there's a trademark on that.
Mm-hmm.
So another company came out and did something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I was there when they sued them.
Mm-hmm. And naturally won.
Of course they did, yeah, they won. So.
Mm-hmm.
I worked about 9 years. I worked until they both died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When did they die? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, he died in 70.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man that was a deist. And
a what?
A deist, like a deity,
Yeah.
He believed in God, and he believed that God made everything. And then I am a theist,
He
believed in God, but he didn't, and all Christians are theists, but he's a deist. He believed God made you and made the world, and he had nothing to do with you after that. But there was nobody. And he was some kind of a being that made the world and made you, then you didn't pray or anything. You had no one to pray. He paid you no attention after that.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, when he died, it was his request that he be cremated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did. They died and 2 days of each other.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Him first?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did the kids must have?
I never did. People are strange. People are strange beings. He died. She was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him over there. He was 89.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the office every day. He went to the office every day. And he had to go into town too.
Mm-hmm.
And he came home, and he went up to the village after he came to the office one afternoon. And he must have had a slight stroke or something, but he fell just before he got to our driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Someone next door was bringing him in,
mm-hmm.
leading him in. So he was saying, I'm all right. And so, I said, what happened? And so, the man next door said, he fell out there. I said, and he went to the bathroom, took washcloth and washed his head off. There was no bleeding or anything. He had no knot on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on, so I said, he said that he was dizzy and dazed. So I called Dr. Tuart. Dr. Tuart came down. And he examined him, and then he called his son. He had one son who lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And he called his son. And so, I really didn't think it was too serious,
Mm-hmm.
So but then I sort of noticed he was just kind of, like he was just a little out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, and he was dizzy. He had lost his equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I took him down. He didn't want to go out. Then they did, the doctor, I said, don't let him go out alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him, he said, Ralph, you cannot go to the village. Now, don't even go to the village. He said, no, don't go up to the village. Then he finally said, well, no, I won't. I won't go up there. And so then he Miss Rutter's in the hospital. So he said, I want to go to the hospital to see Miss Butler. So he said, we'll get a taxi and go up there. So, I mean, it was just different walkers. We got a taxi and went up there. And I carried him on up. He went on up there. We went to the room and she was lying there. She wasn't that, seemingly out. She wasn't out of it, you know, anything like
mm-hmm.
that. She was weak, you know. She had got tuberculosis and all kinds of stuff. There's something wrong with her. I mean, she was 85.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, she was overweight for her height. And
mm-hmm.
But anyway, I guess it must have been that, maybe that Thursday. Went up there.
Mm-hmm.
And his son lived about a couple of blocks up on the high, what's called the high road from there. And so instead of them staying, him coming down there, I told him, well, he got a nurse. She came down there. He got a nurse to stay there. And so they went on home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got me to stay there. So I stayed there.
And at the house there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there at night with him. And so that night he got the nurse, Ophelia Lee. She was a woman who went by, and she did that. She just stayed with those people around there in Bronxville, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
she was sort of a practical nurse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew her in Bronxville. They knew Ophelia.
Mm-hmm.
So she came. And that night, I told Ophelia, said, this old man is he wasn't in the bed, he wouldn't get in the bed, he didn't stay in the bed, and then he would just sit up in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he called his office, they had office in White Plains, and he called the office and was giving this fella instructions what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and be sure you do this get these things out by Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him all these instructions. And so he looked like, oh, he said, I don't know, he said, look like this old man, he's going to come out of this. And so I said, well, I'm going home then, because I said, I'll go to church in the morning, because I was teaching Sunday school, you know,
mm-hmm.
I hate my Sunday school class. So. And she called me that Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock, and said, Mr. Butler died. Who was that? She said, I told him they better come on down here, because his daddy was just lying here. And he never did lose consciousness. And he went on to, like he was just going in a deep sleep. But she had been around people so long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I knew he was dying. And said, I called him and told him. He got out here about an hour or so later.
Hmm. Too late.
Mm-hmm. So then they went on. And we went over there Sunday. And they told her. And of course he had the arrangement already made. He had everything all written out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
and they went over to tell her. And that ever failed at Sunday. And then Monday, she died.
Hmm.
She was Catholic, so they had, so they went to that pill. And they didn't want to be, they were from Albany, New York. And they were, that's where they wanted to be, they wanted to be buried there.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a family plot there. And they only had two boys, and they took that, and it's really between that, them and us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They took that jar of ashes and they put that, I guess they put in there with that casket, however they had the undertaker to do. And they shipped that body on up there, and not any of them went.
Shipped that sucker on up there, huh?
Both of them. That parents on up there. And last day there, and Franklin, what they did around, whatever they, the business that they had to do, you know, in the bank and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He went on back to Philadelphia. They went in sort of the suburb outside of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And that was that.
Yeah, we had a string of cars going up there. A string of them.
Who's that? What about the Richard? Was that the Clifford, your cousin?
Mm-hmm.
Who did it say? About 13 cars?
Yeah, it was a bunch of them.
Did you go?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
But, I went to the service. I didn't go out to the cemetery. But there was a, you know.
Oh, you went to the service.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But I had to get on. I don't know what day was that.
I really don't know. It was on Thursday or something, or Friday or sometime.
Yeah, sometime in the middle of the day.
And it was at 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
From 12 to 12:30.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't stay because I apparently had someplace I had to be. I don't remember it offhand.
You took off?
I must have, because I knew I was there.
Mm.
Although I did not take off for Walter's funeral. Because I had a class. But, well, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, how did you come to be that you worked for Mr. Butler? How did you find out about him?
Oh, a friend of mine down in Bronxville.
Uh-huh.
Told me about Phil, because I had been sleeping in, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't want to sleep in anymore, because I had gone to New York, and I didn't want to sleep in, so they told me about the Butlers.
Uh-huh. Who were you working for at the time?
Oh, I was working for the Pools.
That's the lady that you became friends with, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't heard from her. I think they had put her in the asylum.
Is that right?
She called me one day. See, it's unlike her not to call me. She called me every month. And she called me here. And she said, and she's always, she always teased me, because I always, I never made any bones about letting any of them people that I worked for know that I was a Christian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and that was just that. And I said, and I'd always have them know that I'd pray for you, you know, and I prayed, and I just Well, she said, she said, you can trace me, but I don't think God is hearing you and me either. I don't think God is bothered about you. And she went on talking all that kind of talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on. So after Mr. But, see, after Mr. Poole died, you see, after Mr. Poole died, she just went off completely. And so she talked. And so I asked her, I said, I hadn't heard from you, and I said, and I wrote to you, and I wrote to you and told you what I thought, and told you something to read when Mr. Poole died. I said, did you read it? She said, oh, no. She said, I don't read letters. She said, they all stacked up here. She said, I don't ever read them. And see, they had moved to Florida, Boynton Beach. That's where they had bought. They moved down there for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back up, to Akron in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, I haven't been back. I can't stay in that house, in that house anymore, because that house has been in that family. Well, her father bought them two houses, that house and the house where her mother and father lived, you know, on this huge place, plot of land.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you, she said, I don't know, B. She said, I cannot go into that house since Hal died. She said, I can't go in there. But I went in and got to move the thing. She had an apartment there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she talked, and then then she hung up after we talked for a long time. And about 5 minutes later, she called me back, crying, just weeping. And talking and telling me about, be pray for me. And so I went on trying to, you know, console her and comfort her.
To
send some scriptures to her. And she seemed to get a little calmer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, all right, now she said, call me. And I'll call you. She said, but if I don't, she said, call me Colette. I said, all right. And I haven't heard from her that day. Then I did try to call her one time, but didn't nobody answer. So I don't know what, I just believe they have put her in a...
Give her a call.
See, this is still winter. One Saturday here, I might just do that, just to see where she is.
Mm-hmm.
I have been thinking about her, so...
Isn't she the one that heard somebody throw a brick through the window or something like that?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I was talking to her one day, and she just stopped, and she was talking to me, she just said, well, hey, what's the matter with you? What's wrong? And she put the phone down, and I could hear them talking, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Ed, what is the... And he was always, he always used these cuss words all day.
Uh-huh.
Ed, what the hell is wrong with you? He said, there's nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with you? And I could hear what she was saying. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with me. And she was saying something. He said, well, if you feel that way, he said, just call the police. He said, but it's nothing wrong with me. Oh, he said, well, call the police. And I held the phone and listened, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I just hung up.
Uh-huh.
So when about a half an hour later, she called me back. And she said, B, I'm sorry. Excuse me, I did that. She said, but when I was standing here while I was talking to you, she said, I could have sworn that because that house evidently his house has a big picture window.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I thought someone threw something. I heard this window, big window, crash. And she said, since I have spoken to you, we've called the police, and they have been in every crack and crevice in this house. They thought perhaps I might have heard a picture fall off the
mm-hmm.
wall. They got paintings or something on them.
Mm-hmm. Or a vase or anything.
Yeah. But the crash that she heard, it might have been because they got paintings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These big wall paintings.
Yeah, I know.
And might have fallen, you see.
Mm-hmm. Big gilded frames and...
Uh-huh,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Uh-huh. And because they have they have one of the children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was artist painted, you know, because I know one used to hang over the couch in the living room, and then one was over the mantelpiece, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that kind of a noise, you know, she said.
Mm-hmm.
And all on the ground, they were looking, there was nothing. But you see, she was the kind of a person she had, when I first went to work for her, she had psychiatric, had been under psychiatric treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to fight, like, we'll make it taste it. I used to think you had one going to get in to go to combat hand. Oh, by the way, she asked about you. Larry, her mind is getting so bad. But she has forgotten so many people. But she never, every time when I talk to her today, how's my boy?
Yeah.
How's my boy? I said, oh, he was over. I said, I didn't see him. And I said, I talked to him. I told him, they went up to Great America, which didn't mean a thing to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Great America is like, I said, you remember Coney Island? And she don't remember nothing about Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, yeah, Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to make her remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I said, well, they went up there Saturday. I said, but he said to hang in there. Yeah, well, I tell him that's all I can do is hang in there. Tell him I said to hang in there. That's my boy. And this is one thing that she remembers. And she remembers that, and she remembers that Mr. Rosar liked you, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she, you know, you went there to see her.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Rosar gave you some money.
I remember that.
She remembers that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, today I was telling her about, I always try to talk, because it doesn't do you any good to tell her about current things. They go in one ear and come out the other.
Mm-hmm.
I find to make conversation with her that she can follow is to try to talk about, just reminisce about things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And each time I talk to her, it seems she has forgotten people that she knew so well. She got, I was talking about Pearl. That's one of her friends that she knew before she knew in Memphis. She didn't know who is Pearl. I said, your friend Black Pearl. Oh, I don't know Black Pearl. You know, honey, your mind, I tell you, that's an awful thing to lose.
Yeah, that sounds like Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Alzheimer's disease is called.
Uh-huh. And then the fact is, I was talking to someone, who was I talking to, the medicine man today, and it is all like the neck and hardening of the arteries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's an epidemic.
Is it right?
A lot of people, sometimes I thought, oh Lord, I said, I'm already blind, I'm fine, I can cope with that. I said, well, so just don't let me lose my mind. And you know, it's strange how you can go on and think about things. You've heard me say this before, I'm sure, but these two old ladies met, and I said, well, how are you doing? I said, you've heard me tell you this.
I don't think so.
And she said, oh, she said, I'm doing fine. She said, you know, I got so I couldn't hear well. She said, and He said, I got your hearing aid. He said, but not, and so that's much better. And said, and over the years, and you know, my teeth were getting bad, so I got to where I couldn't hardly eat. So I got me some teeth, and now I'm doing all right, too. And they were just walking down the road, you know, talking and saying,
uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, and my eyes were getting bad, she said, but, and I got me some glasses. I said, I'm seeing all right now. You and the other said, but oh, my mind. My mind. Nothing they can do for my mind.
Yes, indeed.
Now, and you know, the more these people that I see like that, it loses its humor, you know.
Yes, sir.
See,
it ain't funny no more.
You know, it was awfully funny.
I'm sure that's a good one among young folk too.
Oh yes, indeed.
You know,
I was young then. You see.
Mm-hmm.
See, honey. And you know, I another thing, I think of these things, that thing, there are two or three things that I read, and it seems so far-fetched then.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older, honey, you find the wisdom in these things. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
I read this one. This joke would be, they said, this woman said, she's working for this woman, she said, Mary, I said, I saw that you, all said, I heard that your friend died the other day, and, she said, who? Oh, she said, Sally. Oh, she said, well, she was no friend of mine. And the woman that she was astounded, you know, she said, well, she said, no friend of you. She said, I used to always see you all laughing together all the time. She said, but you never saw us crying together.
Mm-hmm.
See? And then, you know, you haven't read out of the other things, you haven't cried together.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And I read this once, and it said, when you reach three score year and ten, and if you can count your friends on one hand and have some fingers left, count yourself blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard, you know. And so I said, well, and I went just running on my friend, and I thought, how silly.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure that I can remember exactly where I've driven down on Walnut Street, honey. That I am sure that has been 50 years ago or more. You hear me? Do you hear? I can remember exactly where I was, because it was some book that I had. Because I've always been some book I had gotten out of Miss Halliday's house when somebody where they had when I just brought it home. You know, we're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that book. And I was sitting there in that front room, when no living rooms in those days, it was the front room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there in that front room reading that book. And how, honey, how I can attest to that now,
mm-hmm.
to that fact.
How true it rings.
Oh, dear. And that is the truth. How on one hand and have some fingers left, you hear?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, for whatever reason or other, they die or something, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Or go their way.
Or they go on there, they get for whatever reason they don't, they leave you.
Mm-hmm.
They
just fall out of favor.
Yeah, I'm saying, they just for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you got on one hand and have a few fingers left. Count yourself blessed.
That's the truth, too.
So, your mind, honey, you never appreciate your mind, I suppose, until you look at someone who doesn't have theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have But I don't call myself, I don't think, I don't consider myself a handicapped. I'm disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at mine and I would take mine every time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of theirs. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There she is over there, shut up in that house. Well, just doing the difference. She doesn't even know that she's in the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I called her.
Uh-huh. Now, she doesn't even remember that, and then the man in the moon.
Mm-hmm. But more than that, it's like, I didn't have anything to say to her, you know?
Yeah, no.
I think when she asks how I am, she's referring back to another time.
Yes, she is.
Another time, because, when I'm in her space, it's altogether different. It's, you know, kind
yes.
of...
If you would come here, if she'd meet you face to face, as she did, she was over here, you know, when we had this graduation thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
She didn't say anything. You know, I mean, you didn't communicate with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know how she and Bess used to.
Yes, indeed. Talking about Paul Newman.
Yes.
And Robert Redford.
Uh huh.
Just like they lived out there in Hollywood, right across the back from Harlem, you know?
And
I'll never forget that.
She never calls Bess's name. When I call her and I talk to her about this. But I would just like to understand. Now, she was... But I still remember. Now she'll say something when I talk to her, I say something to her about this. She slightly remembers. We got to find out about it. But she doesn't really remember anything about what she and Bess just talk about. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a strange, I guess, a little quirk somewhere in her brain about you and every time I talked to her, she would say something about you, and she'll remember, yeah, Mr. Rhodes, I like it. Mr. Rhodes, I like that boy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she will remember that. But now she will never, that's the only time she will bring up the Rhodes, or as long as she worked at home, she never bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
She never talk about it. So many, every week when I talk to her, somebody else is going out of her mind. And someday I wouldn't be at all surprised, I suppose, if she didn't remember me, I just guess. But I call her every, I make it my business to call her once and sometimes twice a week, just to, you know.
Just to keep in touch.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And see, her brother is there, and they don't talk, there's no communication, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And her nieces, well, one of them doesn't live there. There are two of them, of course, men hadn't lived there for, because that's what she and her husband moved out. And they're in that big old house. Did you ever go over there?
Mm-mm, never did.
I was over there with Edith.
You
know, Edith. I guess that's Edith 7th. They're not far. They're not really far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great big house.
Mm-hmm. You can almost rattle around
it. They are rattling around it, you know. And that other niece is on the, she's on the third floor. It's a whole apartment up there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, but it's not made in this, you know, this, like this house. You know, it's just a big, house with that. And they converted it to an apartment.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And, Latique never talks to her. Might talk. But you know, no communication. And you know, if you had good sense, you could sit up in a house like that and no people would...
Yeah, and go bananas, yeah.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
And because with nothing to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do, you got to have... I got to find myself something to do, like here. I'm with your mama here most, not going to school, not doing anything, you know. I don't cook as often as I have been.
Used to. Mm-hmm.
And that gives me nothing to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you know what you should do is just you do the cooking sometimes.
Well,
because that's your life.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I just don't. I mean, you got to have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You do have something to do. I and those are the things that kind of keep you alive, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, well, I don't know, she doesn't have anything to do, you know. So, I have to rearrange my schedule now. But when Vera comes, I just get up. We just go out and just go in the go shopping, because see, Mom does all the shopping now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a job that I had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After we went shopping and got to the groceries, and I mean the bulk of the things, which is a good, you know, once a month you went in, you got the bulk of things, you know.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And you knew that
the flour and sugar.
Yeah, all that kind
oil.
Of stuff. Yeah. And the butter and the eggs and all kind of, and the canned goods and
mm-hmm.
all kind of stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew that's what you were going to do, you know. But for 10 years, you know, since I've been here, that's what we did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Vera had that was her. She said that was her job.
Mm-hmm.
And so she looked forward to it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take mother shopping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just go and you see what's in the store, you know. But you can just deteriorate if you don't have anything to do, you know.
Yes, indeed.
You can.
And that's not just for old folks either. That happens to young folks, yeah. That's, I think that might be what happened to Walter, you know. He just got to messing around and didn't do nothing with his life, you know.
Yeah, yes. Honey, you have to have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
To just do.
Otherwise, you'll be in a sorry state.
Huh?
You see, otherwise you will be in a sorry state.
Yes. I just don't understand it. And you take, now you find people, you take anyone, now you just anyone, you can point it to anyone who sits down, who doesn't do anything. Look, and you can, and look what condition they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally and physically, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just look, just point them and just look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, some people that, excuse me, they seem to, think it's a great thing not to have anything to do with it. Well, I enjoyed, you know, just one of the things that I enjoyed doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't do much anymore. So, we came off on a tangent there.
Yeah, but it was an interesting tangent. It was an interesting tangent.
But you know, I just say this to you. I mean, it's like sometimes you just say some things to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a, in the Chinese language, you know, that language is in symbols.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you realize that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they said one of the symbols in that language is not to have two women in one kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not good.
Yeah, they have a similar one in Africa about not having two women living under the same roof.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it deals more with two wives living under the same roof.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's going to be trouble.
Oh, yes. That's the reason I used to always say, I had always said I would never live with my children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to always say that I just never would. I just didn't. Because it's just hard for two women to have it in the same kitchen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel like that's their domain, that's their territory.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want anyone infringing on that. And so.
Yeah.
So, take my cousin Roxy. She had taken a loss of vision.
Mm-hmm.
But she has just given up. She can't do
nothing.
I have to say, do you want to go in a nursing home? But you're going to just sit there. I said, you know everything in your house. Because you saw it when you went blind there. I said, you're going losing your vision there. I said, so you know, she should know where everything is. She can't even make herself a meal. Blind people, if they're not, if there's nothing else wrong with them except being blind, they're missing very little sympathy from me, you know.
It's all in your heart, though, you know? It's how much nerve have you got.
And of course, I have another point of view from that with you. I mean, if you are a Christian, you have God with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, Jesus said to Paul, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things. And she got two kinds of drops she put in her eyes. She put in one three times a day. I mean, she had two drops she put in every 4 hours. And one she put in twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are you putting your drops in? Well, I can't see. I said, Ross, if you tell me that you cannot see again, I don't know what I will do. I said, you have told me that 100 times, so don't tell me anymore. I said, get with it. I said, you have lost your vision. I said, you act like you have lost your mind also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I go and apologize to her because she's a little old lady. and I said, what you do, take those two bottles that you use every 4 hours and put them together and put a little bag around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know those are the ones that you put in every 4 hours. And that other one, just leave it there. You know, that's the one you put in twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
As simple mm-hmm. as that.
Simple as that.
Simple.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't want to do that.
She doesn't want to do that. She just put, and some people just put themselves on the pity pile.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't put myself on the pity pile, and I resent it no end when people put me on the pity
pile. Mm-hmm. And they try to put you on it.
Yeah, don't put me on there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just please, and that's tired. Because people always want to help you. And they invariably do the wrong thing, you know. They come and grab you without, not so much as not by your leaves, you know.
So much as a me, may I?
Yeah, just.
Or do you want to do this?
Well, and they grab my right hand with my cane, you know. And have the audacity to put my cane, rearrange my cane, put it over, you know, move it the way I have it, you know. I said, all you do is put my hand with. Now, they teach you this, you see. When they teach you to travel, they teach you this. And that's another thing about some blind people that, well, the two of them blind people down in the church, they have had no mobility, you see. And they don't know anything about it.
About getting around.
No. And so I said, put my hand on the top of the car door, you see. And you see, you feel that, then you take it from there. And then they tell you how to get in, you see. Then you feel the seat, then you back in, you know.
That's
the proper way to get in, you see.
That's the way you're supposed to get in, even if you're not blind.
Oh, it is? But most people don't do that.
No, they stick one foot in and start ducking the head down.
Yeah, I always did.
I guess it was my father that told me that, because he always had these sports cars that were so low that you couldn't do that. You couldn't stick a foot in and then duck your head over, because the car was too low. You'd have to be stooping down on one leg in order to do that. And he said, what you do is you stand up with your back to the car, stoop down, and poke your behind in.
That's right.
And then you sit in it, and then you swing your legs in.
That's right. And that's what blind people do. That's what you are taught to do. But now, they don't, for these blind people that down there, they don't know what to do. That's what they have. But see, now my instructor taught me that, you see. And out. We went to Arlington Heights. I know that because that was a white church. Have you ever been to Arlington Heights?
No, I haven't.
And I think it's predominantly white, you know.
I think it probably is.
It is. And so, anyway, this white kid, white fella. And so we were going on and on. So then invariably they go along, you know, they creep. And I said, now listen, I'm not lame, I'm just blind. So if people walk.
If you want to go somewhere, let's just move it. You know, I got places to go even if you don't.
So now he said, now he was doing the best he could do. That he knew how to. Now, people have had no training to know how to handle blind people. No, so he said, we're coming to the sidewalk. You're coming right here, said. I stopped. I said, listen, dear. I said, what's your name? That's what he told me, Jesus. I said, listen, darling. I said, don't give me any instructions here. I said, because I've had mobility. I've been taught how to travel. I said, now I know before you even speak what I have come to. I said, see, before you ever said anything about the curb, I knew that I was there and how far I had to step to get to there. I said, well, I know my cane had already told me. I said, see, now don't try to tell me anything because you don't know how. I said, all I want you to do, I said, even if you don't let me hold your arm. I said, you could just walk in front of me to tell me as long as I could follow your voice. I said, I could follow you. I said, I don't need any instructions. I said, so don't come here? I said, just let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I said, all right. So, did I go there? And as soon as I got him, he carried me to where we were getting registered. And I got another one.
Mm-hmm.
She was a woman. Now she said, now we're coming to the rug.
To the road. Well, you know, it really ain't funny. I mean,
so I just turn them off, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just go on and keep on walking. I just said, when you turn. I said, just tell me if we make a, and then they said, and we'll go this way. I said, but listen, this way doesn't mean anything to me. I said, tell me if we're going to make a right turn or a left turn,
uh-huh.
or goes forward. I said, that means something to me. I said, but this way, I don't know what that, you could be, I don't know what you're talking about. You could be up or down or whatever.
We might be getting ready to levitate for all I know.
Yes.
From what you just said. Let me get my parachute.
Yes. Just ready. Just get the air.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What, you Superman? She meant well. She thought she was doing her good deed for the day.
And so sometimes you just walk along. You get tired of saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you just
mm-hmm.
walk along. Now, you know.
And accept the.
I don't say anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just go right on, you know, this sort of.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help me. And so when they get to, and you get to the chair, I said, now listen, what would we do? I said, just put my hand on the back of the chair. Just put my hand on the back of the chair. And don't tell you try to sit. They gonna try to direct my room somewhere.
Now turn around.
Now turn around and say, I said, just put my hand on the back of the chair, honey.
Mm-hmm. I know the chair is.
Mm-hmm. So then I get my direction from that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother. And you're so tired after that.
Yeah, I know. It must be tiring.
But I asked the Lord to give me strength, and he revives me, and I go right ahead on.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for Jesus, because he's... I don't know what I'd do without him. I really don't, honey. I really don't. Your grandmother doesn't know what she'd do without him. I tell you, I don't know. I don't know, but I thank him. Yes, sir. I really thank him.
Mm.
So in all these things, I thank him.
So let me ask you this. You, this is getting back to Mr. Poole. Because when you first mentioned him, I thought of an episode that you mentioned, you told me about a long time ago. Isn't he the one that used to take you on these trips up to Maine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to go to Maine. Trout's Neck, honey.
What is it? Trout's Neck?
You wrote me a letter. I got a letter somewhere you wrote me when I was up there.
Oh, that wasn't a letter about the woods and stuff, was it? You got that letter.
Y'all know, I was listening to Bill, who found some of these old letters, and she said, Mother, you can just, I said, just leave them right there. I said, when I die, you can throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can have a ball, throw them away.
Mm-hmm. can't. Laugh at them. Do anything you want.
Yes, I got some. I got that. In my trunk, I got a Valentine, two Valentines, that your mother and various ladies, the teacher had to make them at school.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy.
Somewhere in that trunk.
That stuff.
That stuff. I have it in there. Yeah, well, it was... I'm sentimental about my little children making me a Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to throw it in the way. I kept it.
Aunt Mamie's got stuff like that, too. She's got a horse that I drew for her when I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
10 years old, or somewhere in that area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She just, she liked that horse, and so she just kept it.
Yes, I have that, and that, I know I have that letter that, I'm not sure, I have that letter that you wrote, I have a letter, I know I got, I might have more.
Mm-hmm.
I have a letter, I might have a letter that Madeline wrote me. So, I have, what do I have? I guess I must have that a little cap. Baby caps of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have one of yours. And what did I have? Your little shoes. I had Madeline's shoes. I did, and I gave them to her. I guess since I've been here, she said she's going to have some bookends made up. I don't know what she's going to do with them. I mean, she might not even have them anymore.
Yeah, she probably does. Women save stuff like that. Because I guess some men do too. Cause I know Big Daddy saves stuff. Big Daddy's got some stuff that... See, I'd have just gotten rid of it a long time ago.
Well...
I got a couple of pictures that Messiah drew when he was about 3 years old that I thought was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, I keep them. I keep it, rather. I think I probably got something up there Nene made.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff down there in that trunk of my kids and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Letters and things. I used to look at them occasionally, you know, when I'd go down in that trunk sometime for something, put something down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd look at them. But, Mother's Day card and birthday card and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Down there. Well, I can't see them anymore now.
Yeah.
But they're there, so when I go, boy.
So folks are going to have a field day chucking stuff that they've been trying to get rid of for a long time.
Yeah.
Evidence.
And sometimes they won't take, it won't take time to read some of it.
Mm-hmm.
I got, slippings, all kinds of stuff.
So have you talked to Vera lately?
Huh?
Have you talked to Vera lately? I haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks.
Vera comes here every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
She was here today.
Oh, she was here today then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was here today. She was to do my, look at my things,
mm-hmm.
clothes, my shoes, stockings.
Mm-hmm.
Comb my wig, bring me, and she brings me water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
because I still drink that water.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings me water. And whatever I might want from the store, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me some ice cream. They had Breyers on sale over at her store.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought me some Breyers today. Check my clothes out to see if what needs to be done. Go to the cleaners or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a good dinner Sunday.
Did you?
Yeah. Your mother and I came from church. I had broiled steak, baked potato with sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
Sliced tomato, beans, and rolls. Hadn't had broiled steak for a long time.
I remember that steak we fixed. You fixed, rather, when I was staying with you in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best steak. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was the best steak. And we just sat there just...
It ate like pee.
That might have been one of the... No, it wasn't the first time, but that was... I remember you reintroduced me to avocados then.
Yeah.
Avocados. So I know you used to fix them when we were in Memphis. When we were living in that place where I got hit by that bicycle.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I still got scars from that. But I remember you used to call them alligator pears. Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy.
And I always wanted to taste a piece of this alligator pear. You would say, no, you don't want to taste that. This is, and I mean, I just figured, well, it would taste just like pear. I mean, that's what you called it. You said it's an alligator pear. It's just a pear that's got a funny skin on it.
Yeah.
And you gave me a piece of this alligator pear. I mean, I can see what my face must have looked like. As you stuck this thing in my mouth.
Larry, you can't remember that. I bet it my mama was.
Do you remember that?
Yes, but I didn't know you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing you sitting up there. used to cut, dissect chickens, because then you had to get, I don't remember how the chickens came, but you had to cut them up and take the intestines out and cut them up. And there's always a green thing that you never wanted to break this green thing.
The gall.
The gall, right. You never wanted to break the gall because it would make the meat taste sour.
Make the meat
never
bitter.
Was that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always careful not to,
Larry,
not to break
them. Larry, I tell you the truth. Child. mama just died when I told her about Mr. something about Mr. King. Now that is, Mr. King is your Aunt Vivian's husband's father.
Mm-hmm.
He was a cook, Jim King. And when I told Mama something about what Mr. King did, Mama said, "How could you think he said you couldn't have been more than 3 years old to save your life?"
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Daddy said, how could you remember that?" But
yeah.
I told it to you.
Mm-hmm. I actually have some very vivid memories from that time. I don't know why that time and not times after well, even.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can remember a lot of episodes. Like,
uh-huh.
One time you, I don't remember where you, I think you must have just come in the house or something. And I think Ma and I were in the house. And you started looking around for your purse. And apparently you were in a hurry or something. I don't remember that much detail.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember you started looking for your purse. And you looked in the living room. And you looked in the kitchen. And you looked in the bedroom, in the drawers. And unbeknownst to you, I was looking at you as you were looking for things.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a purse tucked up under your arm. And but I just figured, well, that can't be the purse she's talking about.
Oh, Larry.
And so I figured, well, I just won't say nothing. But honey, you went around and around that house looking for things. Almost literally shifting the purse from one arm to the other so you could look. You know what I mean? And then I said, well, Mother, is that the purse you're looking for? You talk about somebody nonplussed. I mean, just... I mean, it wasn't funny. And so, I mean, naturally, I didn't laugh. But when I think back on it,
yeah,
honey, I chuckle every time I think about that.
No,
I chuckle. And there was an old lady that used to live somewhere nearby us. And this is, there were a couple of little...
Miss Guy.
Was that her name, Miss Guy? In fact, I think that was her name. But there were a couple of little girls that used to live around there.
Yes,
and I used to play with these little girls all the time.
Uh-huh.
And we used to play up under the house.
Uh-huh.
And we used to make mud pies. And it was the most fascinating thing, because very often, like if it had rained out, we could get water from the street. But sometimes we didn't have water. And these little girls would urinate in the dirt.
Oh, come on.
Honey. And we made mud pies.
Now you got it.
Honey, if you had knew then. But anyway, one of these little girls stepped on a can or a piece of glass or something up under this house. We were making these mud pies. And she went hobbling home or up to Miss Gaff. Who was, I guess, there must have been a fire escape or a back porch or something.
No, it was back
there. Maybe something back there. Yeah, they were kind of steep, too.
Yeah, they were high.
Yeah. And Miss Guy looked at it and rubbed it, and apparently she chewed tobacco or dipped snuff or something. In fact, it must have been snuff, because she used to send me to the store to get it for her sometimes. Red something. Red something snuff. And, she spit some of this snuff on this girl's foot. As if, I mean, like that, you know, to heal it, to do something to it, I don't know. But I think about that now and get shivers. Because I had shivers then. Just, yuck, this brown stuff coming out of this woman's mouth. You know, what has she got in there? And she started smearing it on this foot. And, after she did it, the girl went back to playing, so I don't know.
It worked.
I guess, because she didn't have to, we went back to doing whatever we were doing, you know.
I got the chain on that door, I could take it off before your mama come.
It's 20 minutes to 10.
Oh, I better get it off.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll let you go then. We'll sit up here and rid our mouths
for
the rest of the night.
Good boy, I enjoyed it.
Well, I did too.
Okay.
But anyway, you be sweet, and
okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, dear.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.